Good morning.
Good morning.
You think summer's here?
Yes.
We have a lot of indications that summer's here, right? Not just the 90 degree plus weather. Where's everyone at? Well, I'm glad you all are here. We're still going to have church. I don't care who shows up, right?
Thank you.
All right. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome. I'm glad you all are here today. Just a reminder to fill out your Connect card. If you still do those as well, if you have any messages for myself or the office, be sure to indicate that on there as well. And then your attendance is marked by that as well. As you see in your bulletins, the volunteer forms for VBS are still there. So we need plenty of help with that this year. So be sure to drop that in the offering plate as it comes by this morning as well. A reminder that those prayer cards in your pews, if you have special prayer requests for us to lift up during the service today, I'd encourage you to fill one of those out and give that to the ushers during the praise songs as they come around to collect those as well. Just a reminder that our healing and communion service is this week, Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. I hope you all will come out for that. We've had several people in our congregation this week that new people on our injured reserve list. So we'll be lifting those up as well. So be sure to come out and join us just for a short time of fellowship and Holy Communion on Wednesday evening. And that's at 6 o'clock. That's before the Bible study. So the Bible study has started. So if you're interested in that as well, that's at 7 o'clock on Wednesday. So come to the healing and communion service and then just go back across the way there for the Bible study. So hope to see you all there for that as well. There's many things still going on in the life of your church. Check out your bulletins and stay involved. Just because it's summer and it's hot doesn't mean we're not going to do mission and ministry here at Lakeside. So please join in and keep us in your prayers as well. Let's now prepare our hearts and minds for worship this morning.
Thank you. us here today. Though most of us have heard the story of Pentecost, restore in us the ability to perceive the wonder and the awe of the outpouring of your Spirit upon humankind long ago. Help us hear this familiar story with new ears, that we might depart from this place with newly discovered zeal, declaring that you are alive in us, your body, the church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
4:8, and it says, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.
That makes sense?
No, it doesn't.
I can just lead them into anything, can't I? They're so gullible.
But we're not.
Oh, yes, you are. Oh, yes, you are. Even more so. But anyway, the planes came, and they started speaking in all these languages so everyone there could understand in their own language what was going on. But why I'm bringing a fire extinguisher for today is they didn't want a fire extinguisher, because that flame represents the Holy Spirit that comes and dwells within us. Now I want to ask you, do you have anyone in your life that acts as a fire extinguisher in your life?
Yeah.
This is a good question. You all should listen to this. How many of us have people in our lives that act as fire extinguishers? When we're filled with the Holy Spirit and we're wanting to do nice things for people and they say, oh, don't do that. They don't deserve that. Don't help that person out. Right? Well, those are fire extinguishers in our life. Does anyone out here have fire extinguishers in their life?
Yep.
We all do, don't we? Absolutely. You know what we're supposed to do with those folks? Get away from them. Run from them. Stay as far away from them as you can. Say, I have the Holy Spirit, but there's no fighting in the choir. Oh, you're high-fiving, okay. Boy, might have to go spray them down here in a minute. But anyway, we have fire extinguishers in our lives that ruin our joy. They're joy stealers. Do you have joy stealers in your life? Who has joy stealers in their lives? I tell you, the world's full of them, isn't it? People running around with fire extinguishers trying to put our fire out. That's just wrong. Get away from them. You're just kidding, I know. So anyway, I want us to remember today that today is the church's birthday. We're celebrating that. They had flames like birthday candles above their heads, so that's cool. So, we need to keep away from fire extinguishers, okay? Because you've got the Holy Spirit within you, and don't let someone steal your joy. Does that make sense? For you too, no joy stealers. No fire extinguishers. Keep those folks away from you.
Amen.
Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for the joy bringers in our lives and where we bring joy to others. Father, I pray today that we would not be fire extinguishers, that we would not extinguish someone else's joy in the Lord. Let us be an example of your Holy Spirit at work in the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all for coming up. That's awesome. They're high-fiving. How can you do it? We're going to let you burn. You catch fire today, you're on your own. You're burning up. Well, we've seen fire in church, haven't we? The window that I come from, people actually catch fire in church, don't they? It's the time in our service when we go before the Lord. We're serious business of our prayer life for our friends and family today. Like I said, we've had many instances this week where folks have ended up in the hospital and different things are going on. So I'm going to lift these names up to you today, and I just want you to keep them in your thoughts and prayers this week, and your prayer requests and your bulletin as well. So be sure to keep that with you. I got a call last night from Marty Hartman up in North Carolina. He told me that Beverly Knapp, had some pretty serious health issues and ended up in the hospital for a couple of days. But she's down on home last night, so just lift up Beverly and some just various things going on with her. And I talked to Marty for a little bit, and I tell you, Marty's not bouncing back as quickly as he was hoping after his surgery. So keep Marty in your prayers as well. Carl Linderson this week ended up in the hospital with some unknown pain, and really, for lack of a better word, they couldn't diagnose him, so he felt better. They sent him home, and this weekend he's up in Vero Beach at a wedding for his granddaughter. So he's doing a little better, but keep Carl in your prayers as well. Chuck Blankenship also had an episode this week and ended up in the hospital for a day, but he's in church. And Chuck, it's so good to see you today in church. Of course, Ann McCartney and Mary Ann Davis, the roommates at Signature Healthcare, Ann with hip replacement and Mary Ann with shoulder replacement. We're lifting up Audra Miller, who continues to struggle. She's been diagnosed with cancer, so she's trying to figure out the next step for her as well. So keep Audra Miller in your prayers. Mary Ann Deal as well, she's continuing to be homebound and just severe back problems and different issues, so keep her in your prayers as well. Mary, Marilyn Tilly's family, today pray for them as well. Jeffrey Hagen's family, it's the 5th anniversary of his passing, so just be with the family today and remember Jeffrey as well. Travel mercies for Janae, she's in Las Vegas, so travel mercies for her to get home safely. We do have a praise this week. Riley Prexler was born this week as Jim Crawford's granddaughter had a baby, Riley. And we just pray for her. Whether you are, Jean, back there, yeah, congratulations. Great grandma again. So we're lifting a praise up for Riley, but a little bit premature, right? So he needs to grow and be as well. And his dad is in the military, right? And he has got to leave to come home to see the baby. So that's a praise as well. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that with us, Gene. Ken Friend as well. Ken and Linda's here. Ken's been having some severe headaches. So I'm lifting Ken up today. Their sons as well. Your 3 sons were lifting up in prayer. And just a praise for God's many blessings in our lives. As you know, General Conference is going on from the 10th to the 20th out in Portland, Oregon. A lot of very tough decisions to be made in the life of Methodist Church, so keep that in prayer as well. Our bishop, on opening ceremonies, fell going up the stairs to the podium. He literally destroyed his knee, so the day of opening ceremonies, he went to the hospital and had surgery the next day, and he's actually still in the hospital in Oakland. So Bishop Ken Carter and his wife there as well. So just pray for a bishop from the Florida Conference. So like I said, many items, many folks today that need our prayer. So let's go before the Lord in prayer. Bring what you have on your hearts today to put at the foot of the cross. Let's pray together. Awesome God, this day of Pentecost, we praise you. The day that you sent fire from heaven to rest on the heads of not only your disciples, but of the people who gathered that day in the upper room. Father, we are represented in that room. So today I pray that our fires would never be extinguished. Father, I pray for all of us today, for the way you have called us into ministry. And that's just not ministry standing here in this pulpit, Lord, but it's ministry to the world, for the love that we share with people we know and even those that we do not. Father, I pray for our witness today, that we would be bold in proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Let us not shrink back in fear. Let us stand bold in our conviction to love and praise God, our Savior. Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus, on the cross. Father, today we're lifting up all of those mentioned here by name and those that we bring that have not passed our lips. The ones that reside in our hearts. Father, I pray for all of us today. I pray for those suffering injury and illness and sickness, relationship problems, financial strain, home housing burdens, just everyday life burdens. Father, I pray that our fire could shine bright, that we wouldn't have joy stealers in our lives. We wouldn't have folks acting as our fire extinguisher to us. Father, I pray today that you would continue to guide us and lead us, not only as individuals, but as a church. Father, no matter what happens in the hierarchy of the church and the political and the administrative and all the things of the church that are just of this world, Lord, I pray that they would not divide us. Father, I pray that we would come together in unity in Christ, that our love would flow in all directions, and all would be included in that love. Father, I pray. pray today that we can be your people and that we do not disappoint you and that you are not ashamed of us. Father, some days the way we act, I know you have to shake your head and say, what are they doing now? So Father, today I pray for all of us. I pray for the United Methodist Church. I pray for individual churches. I pray for our leadership. I pray that those that have been placed in positions of authority will use that authority as God-given and only do what you tell them to do. Father, we love you. Our world is a hurting place. Not just in our churches, because so many people have turned away from you. Father, they do not realize that the only joy can come through a Savior who died on the cross. That's the only way peace will ever come, is that we acknowledge you for who you are in our lives. Father, thank you for this day. Let us forever be grateful to be your children on this day of Pentecost and every day of our lives. Let our fires never be put out. Let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thank you. name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Hear what went on that day.
When Pentecost day arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound from heaven, like the howling of a fierce wind, filled the entire house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be individual flames of fire alighting on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. There were pious Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. When they heard this sound, a crowd gathered. They were mystified because everyone heard them speaking in their native languages. They were surprised and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all the people who are speaking Galileans? Every one of them. How then can each of us hear them speaking in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, as well as residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Babylon, Egypt, and the regions of Libya, bordering Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the mighty works of God in our own languages." They were all surprised and bewildered. Some asked each other, "What does this mean?" Others jeered at them, saying, "They're full of new wine." Peter stood with the other 11 apostles. He raised his voice and declared, "Judeans and everyone living in Jerusalem, know this. Listen carefully to my words. These people aren't drunk, as you suspect. After all, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Rather, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young will see visions. Your elders will dream dreams. Even upon my servants, men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will cause wonders to occur in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and a cloud of smoke. The sun will be changed into darkness, and the moon will be changed into blood before the great and spectacular day of the Lord comes. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father God, that is the message that we hang our hats on. That is the message of our salvation. We must be believers. If not, that fire will consume us, body and soul. Father, we love you. Let this message strike home with us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Must have been quite a sight there. The sound of rushing wind in the room. The doors and windows were still locked, you know that. And yet the wind howled inside the room. And the flames came and rested and settled upon them. What was Peter saying? He was standing in the streets of Jerusalem proclaiming this. "People of Israel, listen to this Jesus of Nazareth, who was put to death on a cross, that God raised him from the dead. He has ascended to the right hand of God." In 1954, Billy Graham was in London, England. He preached for 12 weeks every night. At the end of those 3 months, an Anglican clergyman came to him and said, "Mr. Graham, I've been here every night that you've preached, and every night has been the same message. What's up with that?" Billy Graham told him, "Well, I thought I was preaching a different message every night. What did you hear? What message did you hear every night?" You know, folks, we must proclaim the love of God. When Pastor Peter was here, Peter Alfieri, he sat right there, and I used to love having conversations with him, and I told him, "You heard me say it here in church. Pastor Peter, we're guaranteed a job. We can stand here every Sunday. We can stand here every night and preach this love of God. And your ears would hear what God wants you to hear." How many of you think I preach the same sermon week after week after week? can raise your hand. I won't be offended. Does it sound like the same message week in and week out?
Yeah.
Do I speak of God's love every time I get up here?
Amen.
Folks, I'm sorry, but that's the only message I got for you. I'm doing all I can with this word he gave me. Peter went around Jerusalem. He went out on the streets. What I love about this story of Pentecost, up until this day in the church, they were hiding behind locked doors. I hate to say it, folks, but except on Sunday morning and once a month on Wednesday evening, this church lives behind locked doors. What does that mean? These doors are locked. The church doors are locked, except on Sunday mornings. Are churches today living behind locked doors, or are we totally turning our backs on church? Look at our world today. General Conference is going on out in Portland, and all they're doing is standing around arguing about how they want to hold their meetings. They can't even get to the items that need to be talked about because they're arguing about how we want to hold our meetings.
Sounds like Congress.
Where do we get our example? Amen. It sounds like every part of our society, doesn't it? There's big issues to be talked about. And what do? We stand and argue about how we're going to talk about them. This whole political cycle we're in, this presidential cycle. Good grief. Let's just vote tomorrow and put one of them in power and go on about our business. My pastor friends, we had a clergy meeting this week, and we're all a little concerned about what's going to happen in the Methodist Church. Where is all this going to play out? You know what we did come to consensus on? Sunday morning, we're going to get up, we're going to come and have church. We're going to come and worship God. That's what we're going to do. What's the Sunday after annual conference is over going to look like? You know what it's going to look like? I'm going to be standing right up here. I'm going to be talking about God's love. And I'll probably be saying, I wonder why we can't love one another. You know, God, Jesus came with a message. Love God before no one else. Put no other God before your God. And you know the other one I stand up here talking about and all the time. What is it? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now you know what? There's a trick question in that. How many of us don't even love ourselves? I tell you what, I think, folks, that is a big part of what's going on in our world today. We don't even love ourselves. So how am I going to go love someone else if I don't love myself? Does that make sense? You know, that's come on like a light switch for me. You know what? We said we fret and fuss about what's going on in our world. I think, I love the analogy, pointing at somebody. What's happening? There's one pointing at them and some other ones pointing back at you. I think today as the church, we're failing the people. What do you all think? Are we failing as a church? We don't like to say that, do we? God is in control. And like I said, we're going to come and have church. And we're going to continue to love one another, care for one another, and take care of one another. Despite what humankind says. I'm writing papers. You know I'm in the midst of studies for a course of study this year, some seminary courses. And boy, you get a 3-page document telling you how you need to conduct your writings in these places. And if you're not correct in those procedures and the laws of this process, they put your stuff back in an envelope and send it back to you and say, see you next year. We live by the law of the land. That law is not always that good, is it? Who are those laws made by?
Us.
How come every time we have laws, we're always, you know what laws are good for? It's coming up a way to change them. That gives some people a lot of work, doesn't it? Our Congress and all of our politicians sit around and change laws, rules, and regulations. The Supreme Court comes to them, they have a ruling they've made somewhere in history, they're going to change it. We spend all our time, why make a rule if you're going to change it all the time? Maybe the rule wasn't good in the first place. Does God's law change? Does God's word change to us? Part of the debate in General Conference is, you know what, we're smarter today. Let's look at the Bible differently now. We're better than those people this was written for all those years back. Do you believe that's in their conversation? Let's change this. There's parts of this I don't like. Let's do it differently. So we can't even do anything until we get past how we're going to do something. That's like building a house and you get a blueprint, you get it all done, and you hire all these contractors to come in and then say, well, I'm going to do it like this instead. As Christians, are we going to be able to influence our country? As Christians, do we lay back? Nancy and I have been having a lot of good discussion about this lately. If what you say is not popular today and you say it, you're labeled a hater for one. If you believe something in your heart, and you have to say it with your mouth, you're resistant to that. If I keep what I believe in my heart, no one will ever know. And I won't have to explain myself. I'm doing Bible exegesis now in my studies. I had a book to read on that. And I read through it, and I got done, and I said, what'd that say? That book told me how to read this book. It gave me 10 ways to explain what this said to me. I thought I sort of knew what it was before I knew there was 10 big words, but now you know what? What? I've written a couple of these papers that I get finished with, and I read them, and I'm saying, what did I say? I'm using words I'm not familiar with. I have the dictionary, luckily it's on my iPad. I'm working on things, and I come across a word. I have to look a word up. What does that mean? And then I'll use a word in my paper and say, what does that mean? Maybe I better look that up again, because I want to make sure it's saying what I think it's saying. That, folks, is why this can get so confusing. And God is up there shaking his head saying, come on, people. This is what I'm saying. These new modern translations, this new one here that I've been using, the Common English Bible, it's not quite in Hillbilly, but you know what? It's pretty straightforward in English that I understand. You hear me read it, you see it come up there. Do you understand what it's saying to you? Or do you have to write read it and you read it for yourself up there, you get done, and you say, well, I don't know what that meant. I say that sometimes. And I have to stop and think about it. As Peter was preaching in the streets of Jerusalem, what was he saying? We're getting away from God in our culture today. We spoke about it this morning in our prayer time here. We have a tendency to say, oh, this is as bad as it's ever been. The world is condemned. Right, David? It's never been this bad before. Yes, it has. Read your Bible. What are you reading from, David? Ezekiel? Good old Ezekiel's telling us, man, this world stinks. It's a big trouble. Thank goodness we're not as bad off as they are we, David? We thought. We sort of come to that conclusion this morning. Tomorrow we're going to get up. Some of us, Judy, we talked about, tomorrow's a new day. You get up and you face each day as a new day, right? What can we do? What we can do is be consumed by the Holy Spirit. And don't be ashamed to say it. You know, I deprive you all every week to go out and spread the good news of Jesus Christ to the world. How many of you do that on a regular basis? Be honest. Yeah, not many hands go up because you know what? We're afraid of it. That's what I don't like. We're afraid to offend somebody with the truth.
Not my problem.
Why are we afraid? You know, we don't want to hurt people. We want to love people. We want to do that. But is our silence showing the world that we are in agreement with what's going on in our world today? Is our silence saying that, yes, I'll let you have your way? They're taking our church away from us bit by bit, piece by piece. They're taking our religious freedoms away from us.
Amen.
But you know what? You may think this is crazy. The persecuted church in places that people are slain, murdered, killed, taken out, and hung from a light pole is where the Word of God is at most power. They have to hide. They're like a yellow room. They're behind locked doors. They're hidden from the world. And their faith is carrying them through. Is it too easy for us here to be Christians? Is it too easy to come to church and say, oh, I'm a Christian, put a cross on my car, you know, put a fish on my car, you know, I'll let the world know that I'm a Christian. I had friends of mine say, I've never put a fish on my car. When I'm on 95, I don't want people to know I'm a Christian. I flip them off and honk at them. How many of you put your fish on your car and your honk and flip all the people on the road, throw your window down and call those names we shouldn't call one another? Pastor friend of mine, I've told you this story before. He had an old business that wore a big cross around his neck, and he got into it with one of his customers, and they were just yelling and screaming and cussing up one side and down the other. And his customer said, why are you wearing that cross? Oh, I don't know. It was on sale at Costco, and I picked it up cheap. It was a nice chain. You know what? It was a pastor. He had to tell that man, I'm a pastor of a church. You want to come to my church? Boy, we have some real hellfire and damnation sermons. People catching fire all the time at my church. But don't come in here and tell me how to run my business. If you're not satisfied with the quality of my work, that's your problem. He was convicted that day. He wasn't convicted of a felony. He was convicted of being a weak Christian. And from that day forward, he put his cross inside his shirt. No, he didn't. I made that part up. I thought you'd chuckle at that. But how many times have we done that? Folks, today the church is persecuted around the world. Christians are being slaughtered today. Do you know there's places in the world where what we're doing right now would get us killed?
Yep.
But not in my word. We don't feel that pain. We don't have to lock ourselves behind closed doors. But what we do have to do as a Christian is to love one another. I prepared all these pages today. You know what? Only made it to the second page. I got 9 more pages here to go through. So far, everything I said is not on these pages. But you know what God puts on my heart where He wants me to say when I get up here? And I don't always know what that's going to be, folks. I put something together just in case He doesn't show up today. I can read this to you. But you know what? I've been here 5 years. Do you believe I've been in this church 5 years? And the first of July would have been the first, but I've been here 5 years. Thank you very much. It's been the best 5 years of my life. You all have been swell people. This has just been a blessing. See, I don't know whether I'm to take you seriously or not.
You're herding cats.
My wife holding her head in her hands back there. She says, where is he going now? I don't know. Where are we going? You want to go with me?
Yeah.
Oh, not me, Duke. Okay, well. Boy. Bo, you want to go with me? talked today about it. We're going to move out. We're going to go live in the woods. And we're going to have a church in the woods. Anybody want to go have a church in the woods?
Sure.
I say I get more hands than that, really.
We used to do that every Sunday with the kids. Yeah.
Amen. You know, folks, this is not hard. Why do we make it so hard? It's not just us here. We're all doing it. The world is doing it. Church has become, we call it the postmodern church now. We're looking at the world differently now. Postmodern, what does that mean? Are we living in an age that is beyond the modern age? Good grief. How much more modern can we get? I'll have to look that up when I get home and see what the new seminary terminology is for postmodern. Where are we living now? You know, I'm not standing before you saying, boy, I wish Jesus would show up today. This is sure a mess. But you know what? I'm okay with whenever he comes back. I'm ready for that. And whatever that means for us as a church, you know what? I hope when he shows up, we get caught doing what we're supposed to do. I hope he doesn't show up and we say, and he says, oh man, that's not quite what I had in mind.
Turns around and goes back.
Pardon?
You turn around and go back.
Oh, no. I'm going to hold him if he ever gets here. I'm going to get a hold of him. I'm a big guy. You know, folks, we make this hard. It shouldn't be hard. What I started out saying, though, is how can we love others if we don't love ourselves first? I've suffered with that a big part of my life. And I thank God now because you know what? I love you all. Now that sounds weird for me to get up here in front of you all and say I love you. But I do. A point in my life that would have been very embarrassing and I never would have said something like that in front of a group of people. That's how good God is. There have been times when if there had been two of you here and I had to get up here, you better call 911 because I'm going to keel over. Right, Mom? I'm not who I used to be, am I?
Huh? Oh,
sure. She's actually getting a good chuckle out of that.
Yep.
You know what I say? Thank God. I wouldn't be here today if I had never changed. Had never changed my life, I would not be here today. And that's not just literally saying that, figuratively. I would have had to move somewhere that had a high bridge so I could have jumped off of it. But you know what? That's not an option for me anymore. That doesn't even come into my thought process anymore because you know why? Because Jesus told me to come here and love you all. So from my heart to yours, please be lovable. Do you know that some of you are harder to love than others? Huh? Which ones? Okay, those of you that you think, we don't need to do that. But trust me, some people are easier to love than others. I know that. That's not said here in these pews. Go out there in the world. I see people every day that I just want to go up to them and smack them. On the days I need bail money, can I use your name? But you know what? God says that's not the answer anymore. I'm going to tell a story on you, and then I'm going to wrap it up. Oh, she's nervous. Last week, about a week or two ago, Nancy came home on a Wednesday evening. She's only been at Palm Beach. I'm going to tell this story the way it is because this is how we're called to be in the world. My wife is so good at this. She's been watching me. I'm glad it takes 11 years or 12 years. I don't know. Some years, she's really been watching me and she's really grown in her faith, I tell you. I've really done a good work in her life. A couple of weeks ago on a Wednesday, she come home all serious and came in. I was doing my writing. She comes in and sits down. She says, I gave my notice today. I quit. 2 weeks, I quit. It took me 3 months to get that job. Don't come home and tell me that. See, there was a girl, a lady woman, lady that worked at the office with her. And she was one of those folks that's a little bit harder to love than others. And about a month ago, for some reason, a spat came about on her side. Nancy didn't even know what it was about. She stopped talking to Nancy. They're sitting about 5 feet apart at two desks. Now you're sitting in the same room with someone that won't speak to you. So that's pretty stressful. Nancy comes home and she says, real serious, well, I gave my 2 weeks notice. I quit. I'm not putting up with that anymore. Now, I'm a supportive husband. I just said, are you nuts? No, I didn't. I let her speak. I broke out in a cold sweat. And you know, she dropped him off for a good period of time, really making me think she quit. My stomach's churning because you never hate to think of loss of income and all those kind of things. Unless the church gives me a big raise. So after probably a good 20, 30 minutes, she said, no, I'm just kidding. Come on, don't do that to me. So she got it out of her system. She went to work the next day. She comes home Thursday evening. She was exceptionally happy that evening. No, she didn't. See, I'm lying again. She came home and she said, you know what? That lady came in yesterday or today and gave her notice. She's quitting. I said, is this a joke? It wasn't a joke. She hopefully she got another job, a better job, I hope. So for about a week or so, Nancy and this lady have had to really work together, but Nancy's only been there about 6 months. Nancy now is 6 months tenure as the senior employee in that office. So for about a week, they had to be nice with one another and all that they did. And they had a breakfast. They were supposed to have a lunch that didn't work out. So they had a breakfast for this lady. Nancy went, was very gracious. On her way home the other night, she just got a nudge from God that said, go by Family Christian and pick her up a gift, pick up a gift and a card for her. And she did. She listened to God. I can tell you, Nancy was pretty fed up with this lady. But God overrode her thoughts and told her to go get a gift for this lady. So they had their breakfast and they exchanged some gifts. And this lady was stunned that Nancy had thought enough of her to get her gift and to write some very nice things in the card. The lady was stunned by Nancy's love and kindness. Not that that's not her personality, but what it is. But what it is, she did not deserve it. She knew in her own mind she did not deserve it for the way she'd been acting. I don't know exactly what she said when they left, but they went around the room and they got to say what they would miss the most about, you know, working together and all of that. And the lady said, I miss the opportunity to pray with my co-workers. She said, Nancy's a prayer warrior. She said, I've seen her pray for students that come in here. She's prayed for me. She's prayed for employees that come in with a problem. They stopped what they were doing, working, and go have a prayer time together for some need that had come up. And this lady saw all of that in Nancy. I'm very proud of you, dear. I don't remember exactly what she said. You said it, and I'll repeat it. She really didn't want to do it. That's what I said. Coming home, God really had to speak strongly to her. And what she heard from God was that God sent Jesus to the cross for you, and he was innocent too. Nancy was telling herself, I'm innocent in this. I didn't do anything to cause this problem. And Jesus spoke to her and said, yes, I was innocent, and I went to the cross for you. Zinger. So she nearly wrecked the car, getting off 95 and going to buy a nice gift and putting some nice words in there that touched her deeply. Jesus was innocent. He went to the cross for us. And sometimes in our innocence, we have to go to the cross for others. Amen? Boy, that worked out good. Sometimes we have to go to the cross even when we're innocent. How does that make you feel? Jesus came as an example to us. So folks, in our world today, when it looks like it's so bad, be willing to go to the cross. Because Jesus went to the cross for you. I can't say any more now. That's it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for such a powerful message today. Thank you for my wife and for her obedience in saying yes to you. Thank you to each one of us and the love we share, and for the times we have to go to the cross, even though we're innocent. Father, thank you for this message. Thank you for the flame of the Holy Spirit that comes and dwells within each one of us. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Please stand for our closing hymn today. Christ has made the sure foundation.
Show your love for Christ through your actions. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.